Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. As always, it's an honor to stand before you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 9 through 15. We can stand for the reading of the Word. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Now if any man build up upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work able which he hath built thereupon abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved.
Amen.
Yet so by fire. You may be seated. So, church, we're entering a season that we're all super excited about. We're getting ready to build a church. And I've talked about it from the pulpit. Different ones have talked about it. In our casual conversations, we're excited. We're excited because we have a new building coming. We're excited for what the new building represents. There's opportunities that this building is going to give us that we don't have right now. You see, we know that we are going to have the opportunity to make a massive impact on this community. An impact not only in this community here, but in Mullins, in Beckley, and potentially all of southern West Virginia. See, because we serve a God who is a God of greater. He doesn't have a little vision. I can guarantee you God's vision is greater than anything that we can have for what's about to happen. You see, because God sees families suffering, He sees families that are broken, He sends individuals that are bound in drugs and alcohol, He sees people who are lonely, depressed, isolated, and they need an answer. And you see, here is the reality. The only answer they need is Jesus Christ. And you know that answer. You know it in your heart because He was your answer at one point in life. You see, those of us who know Him know that He is that answer. Not a answer, but the answer.
Yeah.
So our pastor has come to us and he's told us that he has a vision for 100 souls this year. And God showed him something. God showed him that this vision isn't going to be accomplished by one revival after another. This vision is not going to be accomplished by this man going sidewalk to sidewalk preaching the gospel. No, this vision will be accomplished by each and every one of you. It is your responsibility to take ownership of this vision. You see, God has placed each one of us under His leadership. Now, the Word of God is very clear that when you are placed in a place of leadership, you are in subjection to leadership. You have a responsibility, as long as you're in the house, to follow the man of God. Now, if you have a problem with the man of God, it's probably time to get out of the house. I know you probably don't want me to say that, but that's the reality of it. We have a responsibility to follow the man of God. So he's come to us and he said, God has given me this vision. So we have a responsibility to team with him for this vision. You see, this vision must become our vision until God gives you your own vision. We have a very real opportunity, church, an opportunity to team with a magnificent, powerful move of God, and I believe that with my whole heart. I believe this church is going to do something great because the man of God stepped up and said, I'm going to get 100 souls. And if he said he's going to get 100 souls, then I'm going to join with him. I'm going to do my part. You see, here's the thing about it. Right now, there are 97 people in this sanctuary. 97. So if each one of you just gets one soul, just one, we've almost accomplished what's already happened. Just one. That's all I'm asking is one soul from each person in this room. Over 365 days, that is absolutely nothing. Let's just be honest. That's almost embarrassing that you only bring one person to the King of Kings. One. That's all I'm asking. We have a real opportunity. We can make a multi-generational change in this community. We have the opportunity to affect grandparents, to affect parents, to affect children and children's children. You see, that is the reality of what a gospel church planted in the community can do. I'm stirred up in my heart. I believe in my heart of hearts that God gave me what I'm supposed to say tonight. And I just pray that I can do it in a manner that stirs you up. Because I'm not just here to jump and to scream and to kill 30 minutes of your time. I am here to encourage you, to challenge you to see what God's Word says about this situation, about this place that we find ourselves in. You see, because it's worth remembering this, that this new building, is this new house, it's not the pastor's house. It's not your house. It's not my house. It's God's house. It's God's building. And that is what we're working on. You see, if I would title this tonight, that's what I'd say is God's building. Because that's what we're working on is God's building. It is God's. We are blessed. We are privileged to have the opportunity to co-labor with Him to accomplish His goal in this community, but it's His goal.
That's right.
His church, one part of the glorious, magnificent, universal church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. But it's our part. There is a glorious, magnificent church that began on the day of Pentecost and is stretching throughout all eternity, and we have but a little part. And this is our part, and we have a responsibility to do the best with what God has given us. We can't worry about what's going on in California or Asia or Russia or Africa or anywhere else. This is our church, and this is our responsibility. It's an awesome responsibility. We can't waste it. We cannot waste this opportunity that we've been given. So how do we make the most of it? I believe in prophecy and dreams and words of wisdom and knowledge. And I believe in all the spiritual giftings. But you know, we have a more sure word of prophecy. The Word of God. The Word of God will give us the guidance and direction we need in this time. In this text, the first thing I see is foundation. We must build upon the foundation that is already there. And you see, anytime you build something, you start with a foundation. You don't start with other things. We just had a conversation the other night where Pastor was talking about the new building and what he could help with and what he couldn't. And he's like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not touching the beginning part. Because the foundation is so important, we have to get this thing so right, we need an expert to do it. We don't want someone who just does it, you know, time and again. We want someone that dedicated their life to knowing that this foundation is the right thing to build upon.
Amen.
You see, we've got a foundation that's greater than what any man can do. We have a foundation according to the Word of God that is Jesus Christ Himself. No other foundation can be laid. And you see, we're not just talking about some theological understanding of Jesus or some philosophical framework of what He was or what He did. We're not talking about a conviction, a creed, or a doctrine. No, we're not talking about any type of abstract idea. We are talking about the very tangible, living Son of the Most High God.
Amen.
We're talking about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and if we're talking about a person, we must remember who He is. And the Word of God would tell us who He is. We would say that He is the only begotten of the Father, the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, the very anointed one of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us, the very express image of the Father, the great I Am, Jehovah God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last, the one who is now alive but was dead but is now alive forevermore. That is who our Jesus is. That is who our foundation is. We cannot forget who our foundation is, because no other foundation can be laid. We must preach, teach, build everything upon the foundation. You see, Jesus Christ must be the center of your life. He must be the center of your personal life, your family life, your religious life, your work life, yes, your school life. Yes, he has to be the center of it all.
Yes, sir.
The foundation of this church is Jesus. And the foundation cannot be changed. You see, once that foundation is laid, it's there. In order to rip up the entire thing, you must start again. There is no way that we can adjust this building and adjust this foundation, because if you do, you're going to mess up the whole thing. You see, we can't build upon anything else. There has been many attempts throughout all history to build upon Christianity on anything other than Jesus, because you see, Jesus is an offense. Jesus comes at you and he says, unless you deny all and follow me, then you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. He says, unless you hate mother and father, brother and sister, you are not worthy. You see, we have this easy believism where it's just about I accept Jesus and I can go about my life any way that I can. But you see, the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ is he puts a demand on your life. He says, take up your cross daily and you follow me. We cannot have Christianity without Christ. We can try to build a foundation of good works and simple reason, social justice and humanism. Everyone has tried to do these kinds of things, but the reality is the only thing it makes is a weak, powerless gospel that is no more than a humanistic philosophy. If the foundation is not Jesus, the building will not be the church. The foundation cannot be changed, church, but the foundation must be maintained. You see, here's the thing about a foundation. It is so important at the beginning of the construction. Everybody's concerned about this foundation and the way it's laid. But once we start building up the building, everyone kind of forgets about it. You worry about the drapes. You worry about the lights. You worry about the chair. But you don't think one thing. You don't give a second thought to that foundation ever again. But here's the thing about it. If you don't think about that foundation, if you ignore that foundation, some bad things may begin to creep in. Because you see, maybe you got some water damage that's coming to brush up against that foundation, and you need to put some type of seepage line to run it around. You know, maybe you need to come in and backfill the foundation a little bit to put a little support there. You see, when once we forget about that foundation, it begins to crumble. We have a responsibility to maintain our foundation. And because our foundation is a person, it's not a thing.
That's right.
Our foundation is based on relationship. You see, that's what a person is made for. If you look back in the beginning, God created man to have fellowship with him and fellowship one with another. Our relationships are incredibly important. But how many of you know that you've had great relationships in your life and you've not maintained them? You've not taken care of them as you should. And as time has gone on, they've just passed away. I know that I have. I've got some friends that were my best friends in high school. And I was almost inseparable from them. And nothing as bad has ever happened. But the reality is I just didn't maintain it. And time just got further and further and further away. And the next thing you know, someone that you spent most of every moment of high school with, you haven't talked to in 20 years. We cannot allow that to happen in this church. You cannot allow your relationship with the very lover of your soul to slip by.
Amen.
You cannot allow the time with Jesus to suffer. You have to be intentional. You have to purpose in your heart that you're going to spend time with him. Because let's just be honest, it is not always easy. We have busy lives. We have many people pulling in many different directions. But I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want anyone to answer this question because it's going to embarrass some of you. But here's what I want you to think about. Do you make time for the ones you love? Do you make time to sit down and speak with your wife or speak with your husband? Do you make time to in the day to sit down and hear what's going on in your kid's life? I would say I guarantee everyone in this room, do you make time to call up your best friend? Do you make time to talk to your parents? You make time for those that you love. But how much time do we make for Jesus? If you have time in your day to talk to your wife, you have time in your day to talk to your God. The one who left all of heaven's glory to live and die, suffering and shame for you. You are the very reason that he left all of heaven's glory. We cannot forget to maintain this foundation. And now that we know who the foundation is, let's see what we must do with this foundation. You see, verse 10 would say that once this foundation has been laid, that someone else builds upon it. And he would phrase it like this in verse 10. He would say, "But let every man take heed how he build thereon." So it's not just enough to know who our foundation is. We have a responsibility to do something with this foundation. We have a responsibility to build upon this foundation. And not just build in some haphazard way, but to be very intentional, because the Word of God tells us that we must take heed. We must be careful what we do with this thing. Now, I'm going to grant it. The context of what we're reading here, Paul is directly referring to ministerial leaders. He's talking to leadership in the church. Because in verse 9, he would say, "We as leaders and you as general believers." I will acknowledge that. However, I believe that the extension of this truth is universal to all believers. Why do I say that? Well, I believe, and I believe I will scripturally show you, that all believers are called to preach. We have a mindset that the only person who preaches is the person who is in that pulpit. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a difference between leadership ministry and laity. But every one of you is called to preach the gospel. Every one of you is called to be a witness of your Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of your life. Every one of you is called to have a word. That when someone asks you of the joy, of the peace, of the glory in your life, you have the opportunity to respond with God's word. You are called to preach the gospel. You don't have to have a message from this pulpit. You don't have to have a podcast. You don't even to have a title, but you have to be able to tell people how glorious Jesus Christ is. Preach the gospel. The Word of God would tell us to be ready in season, out of season. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care how bad the circumstance. You should be able to pull a scripture from your heart and say, "Jesus is my reason for coming through this situation. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my high tower. He is the reason that you see me stand as I do today." 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. These are very, very familiar scriptures. We have read them so many times. The Word of God would say, "Therefore, if any man, this is universal, if any man," correct? "Be in Christ, he's a new creation, all things are passed away, all things become new." Any man, any believer, any man, and this man here is universal. This is not talking about masculinity. This is meaning any believer. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Any. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Here's the second part. "And hath given unto" who? "Us." The what? Ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation, the very thing that Jesus purchased and gave to the church, he did not just give to your pastor. He did not just give to the elders. He gave to each and every one of you. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's your calling. You have a responsibility to go out these doors and tell people they do not have to live in darkness anymore, that they do not have to live in bondage anymore, because reconciliation means change. Change from darkness to light. Change from sinners to saints. Change from sorrow to joy. That is the gospel message that you have been entrusted to carry. Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 verse 37, he would look out and he would see all of these people coming to him. He would see just the multitude of coming to him. And then he would say unto the disciples, "Truly that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." He would go on into the next verse and he would say, pray the Father that he sends laborers into the harvest. He said, listen, there are so many people out there who need to hear the gospel, but there's only a few people who's working. He said, pray, God, send more people into the harvest. He didn't say send pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists. He said, you just send people into the harvest because we need somebody to tell them about Jesus. They don't need some deep understanding of theology. I think Pastor nailed it when he said, the gospel's simple. If any of y'all have heard me preach, I don't have complex messages. I really don't. I'm not a complex, I don't have some deep theological understanding. I can't expound all the mysteries of God, but what I know is Jesus Christ crucified. I know that I know that I know that there was a time in my life that I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I know that I know that I know that I was ashamed to myself and my family, but Jesus set me free. Jesus set me free. That I know. That you have to know. The other night, Pastor made the statement that maybe it was Sunday school. What's the purpose? What's the intent of the Holy Ghost in your life? And the reality is you've been empowered by the Holy Ghost for a purpose. His purpose in your life is to empower you to be a witness. Not to speak in tongues, not to prophesy, not to heal the sick, not to lay on hands. All those things are wonderful and I believe in those things, but that is not the purpose. The purpose is to empower you to be a witness. In your house, in your community, in your state, in your nation, and in the world. Amen. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Therefore, this teaching is applicable to all of us. This is directly applicable to each and every of the 97 people sitting in this room. Amen. There can only be one foundation. But the structure that we build on that foundation can be very, very different. There can be very many varieties that exist that are being built upon this foundation of Jesus. Paul would list it like this. He would give us six things in two categories. He would say there's gold, silver, and precious stones. He would say there's wood, hay, and stubble. He's basically created two categories for us. He said one is valuable, it's durable, it's inflammable. It will not be burned up. One is worthless. It's perishable. It will catch on fire and burn away. You see, the gold, silver, and precious stones, they're one category. These are the things that we can work with that add value to the kingdom of God, that add value to the church of the living God. These are the things that we can choose to build with that will bring glory to God.
That's right.
These other things, wood, hay, stubble, they're things that have little value. They're very easy to come by. It takes nothing from you in order to build with it. There's no sacrifice involved. It's real simple. You can just go out in the field and just pick it up and throw it on the house. And say, well, Lord Jesus, I did my part today. There's a little hay on the roof. It doesn't cost you a thing. He said, that stuff's going to be burned up. He said, that doesn't have any lasting value. Don't you think you're doing anything good because you're not. You see, Paul is not envisioning some multitude of different buildings, some city of God that just has all these buildings. Because remember, we're talking about one foundation that we're building, one building, which is the church of God, that the universal church, that is what we're building. You see, Paul is giving us a vision of one large, glorious superstructure built on the only foundation, which is Jesus Christ. These various materials, they are joined, they're linked, they're mingled together in such a way as to construct the universal church, the blood-bought, eternal church of the living God. So what work? What work are we to carefully do? What work are we to conscientiously perform on this structure? What is our responsibility? What can we do upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? Well, you see, our work is our witness. That's your work. That's why you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. That's your work. That's why you've been given the ministry of reconciliation, because that is your work. You have been given the opportunity and the power to properly represent the identity of Jesus Christ to each and every person that you encounter. When you sit down at a restaurant, when you're sitting at church, when you're sitting at school, when you're at work, when you're walking down the mall, when you go through the checkout line, you have the opportunity, the power, and the ability to accurately represent the identity of Jesus Christ, to bless them that curse you, to pray for them that despitefully use you, to turn the other cheek, to do good for them that do evil against you. You see, this is a world that's built on retaliation. We see the other side as the enemy, and we hate them, and we want to do whatever it takes to make sure we win and they lose. That is not the way our Lord works. He does not work in this vengeful, hateful way. You know, He looks at those who would stone Him, and He'd pray for them. He looks at the ones who did crucify Him, and He'd say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what you're doing. They walk around in blindness. We have an opportunity to work in leading others into salvation, to leading people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to remind each and every person who the foundation of our life is, why we walk around with joy, why we have power and authority in our life, why we pray for our sick, why we believe that our loved ones will be prosperous, because Jesus Christ is the foundation of our life. That's not a hard witness, church. You don't have to have all the scriptures. You don't have to have all the theology. You just have to know that you love Jesus, and they need to fall in love with Him. You need to bring every word, every story, every encounter back to Jesus. That's the most powerful witness you have. You see, nobody can tell your story but you. There is no one who knows what you've been through. No one knows where you come from. No one knows what God has done in your life. I cannot tell your story like you can. That's why when you sit down and you begin to tell your story to someone else, man, that is the most powerful witness you have. And I guarantee you, when you begin to engage in that, God is going to come right along beside you, because He wants their soul saved way more than you do. He wants their ear way more than you do. He wants their heart so much He left all of heaven's glory to live and die as a man. He'll be right there with you, church. He won't leave you. And this work has to be carried out in a selfless manner. You can't be looking for name recognition. You can't come in and say, hey, pastor, 3 people got saved by me today. It don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you bring 1,000 people into this church and your only rationale or only reason is to get on Facebook and say, oh, I brought another one today, don't think when you get into heaven that that's going to be gold. That's just stubble. A stench in his nostril. Why? Because no man is going to get the glory that belongs to the Creator God. He and He alone is worthy of all praise and all glory forever and ever. He will not share His glory with another. Even if you're doing good things, do not try to rob the glory from the only one who deserves the glory. You see, Jesus, He would come and He would say that I didn't come to have people serve me. I come to serve. He would kneel down and wash His disciples' feet. That's the example of selfless ministry. Paul would say that I'm not a slave. I was never a slave. But you know what? I've made myself a slave for everyone. I've become all things to all men that I might by any ways. Just win some. I don't care what it takes. I'll do anything it takes. If you want me to be a Greek, I'll be a Greek. If you want me to be a Roman, I'll be a Roman. If you want me to be a Jew, I'll be a Jew. I'll be whatever you want. Just listen to my story about Jesus. Any work that exalts man or self will perish. So how's it going to perish? How is this work that we must engage in be assessed? Well, you see, verse 13 would say this. If I pull it up. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. A fire will reveal the true value of all work. Everyone's work will truly be clearly seen for what it is when we enter into His presence. There's no hiding it. Maybe you can deceive the pastor, maybe you can deceive your husband and your wife, but the very intent of your heart will be exposed before Him. You see, God's ultimate examination of all life's work will take place here. The ultimate place of accountability for every Christian. The fire will reveal it. If it's the precious stuff, it's going to shine. It's going to burn away everything that tried to taint it, and it's going to be refined in that fire, and it is going to be the most beautiful, precious addition to the kingdom of God. But if it's the wood, the stay, the hay, the stubble, that which cost you nothing, that which took no real work on your part, it's just going to burn away. It's going to vanish. You wasted your time. But here's something that we have to recognize. This reward is about a reward. It is not about judgment. Some people mistake these scriptures to think that these believers, because they don't work enough, are going to lose their salvation. That because they didn't work hard enough, they're not going to get to be in His presence. But that is not at all what this is saying. If we look in the reality of this text, it clearly tells us, verses 14 and 15 will say, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If you got gold and stubble, if you got gold and silver and precious stones, you're going to get a reward for that. That's great. It's going to be an everlasting glory unto the kingdom. But if any man's work shall be burned, the stuff over here, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. In this text, we should understand that the consideration is not about those who are lost and those who are saved, because all of them built upon the same foundation. Those all built upon Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of this church. The reality is, this is not about saint or sinner. This is about those who worked well and those who did not. We have a responsibility to work well. We have a calling on our life. We have been equipped to work well, to build upon this foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We have a responsibility to add men and women, souls, to this kingdom in order that God can be more glorified. This distinction here, we must understand, is just about a reward. But when I say it's just about a reward, I want you to sit back and think. You will enter into eternity. You will stand before the one who gave you everything, who held nothing back, who sacrificed his very last breath for you. And he will say, my son, my daughter, bring that which you did for me. And you're going to bring your works and you're going to set them before Him. And if you have the precious things that last, there is going to be a joy in your heart that you know that you did what you could do for the glory of Jesus Christ. But those who have the stay, the hay, the stubble, those things that must burn away, the shame that will fall on your heart when you know in this short time that we had in this world, how many ever years it was, 50, 80, 100, whatever time that you had in this world, you accomplished nothing. You were empowered to preach the gospel. You were empowered to be a witness. You were given the name of Jesus. You were given the very authority of the seat of heaven, because the Word of God says that now you are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You have the very authority of the King. And what are we doing with it, church? So what are these rewards? What is it that these good things bring and these bad things do not? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. You see, Paul directly connects the reward that he's going to get in the eternal with the final outcome of his converts. He says, when I look around the throne, when I'm standing there and I'm praising the King of Kings, when I'm lifting up holy hands for eternity, and I look around and I see the men and women that I poured my life into, when I look and I see the disciples that I chose to sacrifice for, when I look and I see the men and women that I pushed my plate to the side for so I could pray for, and I see them worshiping around the throne, and I know that I had a part in their salvation, whatever, Lord, little part it was, for the rest of eternity, I get to know that I had a part in that. You see, Paul said that is the greatest joy that I will ever have that this world may bring, is knowing that I have brought souls into the kingdom. You see, church, that is the reality of eternity. You can be sitting there before the throne worshiping him night and day, and he will love you, and you are going to be satisfied in his presence. But as you look around, some of us are going to look around and say, oh, there's Bob. Oh, there's T. Oh, there's Frank. Oh, there's Susie. Because you know in your heart you played a part in their salvation. And there's going to be some that look around and say, Lord, I wish I'd have done more. I brought no one with me. I came, Lord, and I thank you that I came, but I didn't bring anybody with me. Church, as we begin this opportunity, if once we begin this work, this opportunity that God's given to us, we have to take responsibility for this work. We have to choose to build upon Jesus Christ. We have to take it upon our heart that we will be the one who witnesses. We will be the one who builds upon this church. Because no one can do it for you. There is no one in this world who can take your witness out those doors and hand it to someone else but you. Musicians, you can come forward. Church, if you have never taken the responsibility of witnessing and winning souls as you should, I encourage you, make this the year that it changes. Make this the time in your life that you say, okay, God, I will purpose in my heart that I'm going to bring a soul into salvation. I encourage you every moment of the day to ask God, God, is this the moment? Is this the moment, Lord? When you're walking into the gas station, when you go into work, when you sit down at the restaurant, ask yourself, God, is this the moment? Is this the one that I'm to speak to? Is this the one that I'm to show your glory to? Because I guarantee you, if you purpose in your heart that you will be a witness for his glory, he's going to give you an opportunity because he so wants to see you engaged in this work, because this is the work that he died for. Because you see, he purchased this church, this universal church, with his only blood. His precious blood he shed on Calvary's tree to purchase the church of the living God. And he has given you the unique, special ability to work, to increase that church, to add to it daily. He's given you the ability to bring in currency that can be spent in the kingdom of heaven. Currency is people in the kingdom of heaven. Nothing gets accomplished without people. I don't care how much money we have. I don't care how much power we have, how much authority we have in this world. The reality is we need people. We need people to multiply more people. It's only by people taking the gospel to other people that this church will grow. It's only by people sharing their story with other people, and then those people sharing their story with other people, that the multiplication of the kingdom can truly happen. So, church, I'm here to challenge you today. Take heed how you enter this next season. Take heed how you build upon this foundation that is Jesus Christ. Because there will come a day that the Lord's going to look at you and say, child, with all the time that I gave you, with all the tools I gave, how many people did you help come? How many people did you help come to fall in love with me? Get to know me. there's anybody in the house that doesn't know this Jesus, this foundation, that doesn't have that true relation that we're talking about, now's a great opportunity to get to know Him. There's no way that you can build in the kingdom. There's no way you can be a witness if you're not joined to the foundation. And because He is a person, you must enter into a personal relationship with Him. So we encourage you today, come forward and give your heart to the one, the only one, who can give you the peace, the joy, the happiness you need in your life. And for those of you who know Him, I challenge you this week, begin every moment of every day, Lord, give me a soul. Give me a soul, Lord. Open my eyes up to who I'm to witness to. Give me a soul, Lord. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You. I praise You for the opportunity to preach Your gospel. I thank You and I praise You for the men and women in this church. I praise You, Lord, that You are going to do a mighty work through these believers, that You are going to make them instruments of righteousness in Your hand, that You are going to make them the very witness that changes this community, that changes this region, that changes this world for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.